Good evening, Star Wars nerds. Nerd 11 reporting in. It is January the 11th, 2018, and I want to talk tonight about a post that I saw on Facebook, actually, of a string of tweets from Brian Young, whose Twitter handle is at SwankMetron, with regards to Luke and his choices in The Last Jedi. So I posted this on the Facebook page for the Star Wars Nerds, but I want to go ahead and read it here and just kind of talk about it as well for tonight's segment. So here we go. I'm going to be quoting Brian's tweet that he tweeted out on 1/8/2018. So he says, "Rewatched The Empire Strikes Back, and I think it's apparent that there was no other choice for Luke Skywalker in The Last Jedi, given the events of The Force Awakens. The entire premise of The Empire Strikes Back is that Luke Skywalker can sense Han and Leia in danger before it happens across the galaxy and drops everything to save them, which makes the biggest question in The Force Awakens to me: why didn't Luke save Han? Not Snoke, not Rey's parents, nothing. Why did Luke Skywalker let Han Solo die? Luke is the central mystery of The Force Awakens. The opening sentence of the crawl is, 'Luke Skywalker has vanished,' and the closing shot is Rey having found him. The film is begging us to ask these questions about Luke. Why are we getting sidetracked by Snoke and Rey's parents? Because of Empire and The Force Awakens, I don't think Rian Johnson could have done anything else with Luke Skywalker and have it make sense. There were slight variations that could have been made, sure, but the broad strokes of what Johnson gave us are pretty much inevitable. I expected Luke to toss the saber the first time I saw the film. That's his thing. I've been on the, quote-unquote, Luke is turning to nonviolence, end quote, bandwagon for a while. But I was furious the first time I heard him say, quote, 'Where's Han?' But I realized there had to be a reason for it. My patience paid off in what I find one of the most heartfelt and stunning moments in the film, when Rey realizes that Luke has cut himself off from the Force. Here we have the single most powerful Force user in the galaxy forced to cut himself off of every instinct he has for fear he'll do the galaxy more harm than good. From Luke's perspective, this abstinence of the Force is heroic. Another Jedi purge becomes impossible. The perspective of the audience hasn't been as sympathetic. But this is also one of the central themes of The Last Jedi, that we can all perceive the exact same thing in a different way. I'm not just talking about the Rashomon sequence, which I thought was brilliant filmmaking, but the vision Rey and Kylo shared and discussed on the elevator. They saw the same thing and came to different conclusions about what the outcome would be. Always in motion, the future, Master Yoda would say. But let's talk about the Rashomon sequence, because to me, this is what made Luke the least Luke and the most Luke the more I watched it, the more heartbreaking it is to me in the best ways. In case anyone is unfamiliar, Rashomon is a groundbreaking 1950 samurai film by Akira Kurosawa, who has always been an intense influence on Star Wars. It tells the tale of a murderer in the meadow from three different perspectives. The film never offers us an objective truth on what happens, merely lets the narrators be as reliable or unreliable as our point of view allows. Our first glimpse of the Rashomon triptych in The Last Jedi comes when Luke explains that he had sensed the dark side in Ben. He went to confront him about it, and it didn't go well. No sabers were in play. This is how Luke wishes it would have gone, if at all. The second version is from Ben's perspective. Naturally, he's the hero of this version. Luke practically has Sith eyes, and his green lightsaber is almost a sickly yellow. From Ben's point of view, Luke arrives to murder him absolutely. There is no question in his mind. And then, the third time, we're given Luke's version. I blended the two with plenty of shades of gray, and for my money, the version of the story I believe. As an aside, this is the version of the story I believe as well. And it's the one I think truest to Luke's character too. Luke goes to check on Ben and the darkness growing inside him. This wellness check is already filled with self-doubt. Luke, like every creative or heroic person I've ever known, suffers from imposter syndrome, just like Obi-Wan's. And here he sees a darkness greater than anything he could have ever imagined, and a future where all of his loved ones are killed and the Jedi Order he cared about burned to the ground. What happened the last time he was confronted with an image of this? The last time this happened, he was in the Death Star throne room and Vader taunted him with his vision of the future and he lost control. He ignited his saber out of instinct and fought with rage and anger, but he pulled himself back from doing the thing he swore he wouldn't do, kill his own father. Then he tossed his lightsaber and says, essentially, kill me if you have to, but I'll die like a Jedi. Now, he goes to Ben's hut and sees that future all over again. And as before, his saber ignites, and this is startling to him. He's instantly ashamed of himself and must deal with the consequences of that split-second consideration. We know he'd never kill his nephew. Ben doesn't. Some have said that Luke wouldn't consider this again, but facing the dark side of yourself isn't a quote-unquote one time and it's over thing. It's a constant. We learn and we grow and we constantly have to reevaluate that. And here's where Luke decided it was ultimately the right thing for the galaxy to end the Jedi and quit the Force. Because these cycles of violence will happen between good and evil jockeying for power. And the constant in Luke's view was the Jedi. Their failure, hypocrisy, hubris. If they were off the playing field, there would be no Vader or Kylo Ren. So instead of doubling down and training new Jedi and taking down his nephew, he simply ends the cycle. Violence begets violence, and Luke would no longer participate. And that's why I love the end of the movie. Luke finally learned from his mistakes. He could stick to his non-violence, but still set an example that would ignite the galaxy, which is why his saber never touches Ben's during the fight. It's 100% evasion. He had lost the understanding of the value of the legend of Luke Skywalker, but Rey helped him find it again, and he could once again believe in himself and the Jedi. From my perspective, given Luke's inaction in The Force Awakens, this is the only thing that could have been done with him, and why I've embraced the arc so much. I love it. You don't have to like it, but this thread is the Luke I saw up there. And when he has his heroic moment on Krait and Binary Sunset, it's a perfect capstone to his character, given the turn the universe and canon took. So Brian's breakdown is just spot on and extremely poignant. Given the overall community's reaction to, fan community's reaction to the Last Jedi and how divisive it has been. So, and it's perfect in what he said as far as, that one of the central themes of The Last Jedi is that we can all perceive the exact same thing in a different way. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people have forgotten and need to remember and take into consideration is that we all perceive things from our own point of view. Just like what Obi-Wan said in The Return of the Jedi, is that you're going to find that many of the truths that we cling to greatly depend on our own point of view. And nothing illustrates it better than the Rashomon sequence within The Last Jedi. It is perfect. That it all depends on your point of view. From Luke's point of view, he was going in and he was doing the right thing by keeping an eye on Ben, because he knew that Ben's heart was already poisoned. Snoke had already gotten to him, and Luke thought that maybe he could, if he just kept an eye on him, and guided him and showed him the correct path, that he could ultimately purge that darkness from him. But as he's going in there, he already knew Ben's heart and that he had been darkened. But the funny thing is that the big thing that I noticed in The Last Jedi was that everybody has something that they're running away from, something that is haunting them. Luke is being haunted by the future, and he always has been. Like Yoda has said, always to the horizon, young Skywalker, you've looked. He is always looking to the future. He is never paying attention to what is going on around him. If he had done that, he would have realized that Rey took the books, and that's why Yoda blew up the tree. But he didn't. He didn't realize the consequences of him shutting himself off and running away from the Force. One of the things that really hit me hard when I watched The Last Jedi for the first time was when Rey and Chewie bust into Luke's hut, and Luke immediately goes, "Where's Han?" The first time I saw it in the theaters, I audibly gasped and said to myself, "He doesn't know he's gone." And it just tore me up by seeing Luke walk into the Falcon and pull Han's dice down from the console and just hold them, and then go back into the crew galley and sit down at the Dejarik table and just put his head in his hands, realizing the weight of his decision. I think at that point he realized the consequences of his decisions, and he's now paying the price that one of his friends, who he, if he had stayed connected to the Force, the guy who is his best friend in all the galaxy, he could have been there to try and save him. But because he chose to cut himself off from the Force and from the whole galaxy, he lost the best man in his life. So one of the other things that really hit me that Brian said, that kind of struck a chord with me, was when he says that facing the dark side of yourself isn't a one-time and it's over thing. For those of us that followed the Clone Wars cartoon series, and you watched the sixth season, which is the quote-unquote lost missions, the very last season of the Clone Wars, one of the story arcs in that is Yoda going off on this kind of a pilgrimage into the Force and learning a little bit more about what the nature of the Force is, in which he is taught by these Force priestesses. He also communes for the first time with Qui-Gon Jinn, who has become one with the Force. Qui-Gon does not manifest himself. He just sends his voice to Yoda, so he hadn't quite figured out the manifestation part of it. So we have the great understanding of now how, you know, here we learn how Yoda figured out how to do this training and who to do the training from in order to become one with the Force and find life beyond this crude matter that we are. But one of the things that Yoda encounters in his journey is a mirror opposite of him, a complete evil dark side of Yoda. And in the conversation with him, with this apparition, Yoda says, "I know who you are. You're my dark side. I've banished you. I've already faced you and I'm done with you." But the dark side of him looks at him and says, "Well, if gone am I, why am I here?" And in that moment, Yoda realizes, that's right. My dark side may be gone. I may have dealt and faced my dark side and faced my fears and all these dark emotions, but it's truly not gone. It's still a part of me, and it's what makes me me. So it's something I need to struggle with all the time. It's a constant thing. So I think Brian was just spot on with that. And I like how that, I hadn't thought of it that way. And how that harkens back to the Clone Wars. And the Clone Wars, shows us how, Yoda, it kind of gives us a little bit more of how Yoda understands that the Force, that in the Force, we are luminous beings. We're not this crude matter. And even Luke doesn't get that point until the very end, when he realizes after this now next conversation, yet more learning he has received from Yoda. And in the end, he sets aside his hubris. He sets aside the hypocrisy of the Jedi, and realizes that what the galaxy needed was this legendary figure to stand out in front of the entire First Order and face them all down with his quote-unquote laser sword. Yes, Luke knew that violence was going to beget violence, and he didn't want to participate in it anymore, but he knew in order for the rebellion to be reignited, in order for the Jedi to survive, in order for his family to live on, he needed to antagonize Kylo Ren. No longer Ben Solo. Ben Solo is, you know, Ben Solo may not be truly gone, like Luke said, but he is far beyond redemption in my eyes. I don't see Kylo ever coming. Or, I'm sorry, I don't ever see Ben Solo coming back again. But who knows? So one of the things that I mentioned a couple segments back tonight is that everyone is blinded by something. And I said that Luke was blinded by the future. I think that's one of the themes of The Last Jedi. Not only that everything depends on your own point of view, you know, one of them is that everyone of importance is kind of blinded. Like I said, Luke is blinded by the future. Snoke is blinded by his power to the point where he thought that he was in such control of everything that there was nobody more powerful than him. The only person that he feared was Luke Skywalker. And when Luke didn't show up as the one who is the opposite of Kylo Ren, Snoke was overconfident and thought that he that there was nobody in that room that could be more powerful than him and who could outsmart him. And ultimately, that was his downfall. Kylo, it's his anger. Once again, here's his downfall. It's his Achilles heels. So much so that Luke knew that the only thing that he needed to do in order for the resistance to find their way out of the cave on Crait is to make his nephew angry. That if he got him angry enough, that his sole focus would just be on Luke, and he'd be able to serve as that distraction. Finn is blinded by his hatred. His hatred for the First Order. And for a person who starts off as being a member of the First Order, it's his hatred not of the institution itself, but his hatred of what they did to him. That they took him from his family. They turned him into a weapon of war. And said, you know what? I'm going to even throw myself against this weapon, because no matter what, it seems like the First Order is constantly trying to take away everything that I hold dear. For Poe, it's should he be focused on winning the battle or winning the war? He is blinded by winning battles and leading fights and winning that fight. He's not seeing the bigger picture. So he is so laser focused on that very first battle to take down that dreadnought that if he had just taken one step back and realized, you know what, doing this is going to cost us more than what we're going to gain, it is better to cut and run sometimes. And ultimately, by the end of the movie, which is that's his big arc in The Last Jedi, is that he realizes there's no way we're going to lose everybody if we try and take down this ram gun. We need to get out of here. So, and for Rey, it's her optimism. She is so blindly optimistic. She even thought to herself up to the point where they had taken down Snoke that she could redeem Kylo, and the whole time he was playing her. I think Kylo saw her as his ticket to taking down Snoke and achieving what his ultimate goals were, and that was to become the one in charge, the most powerful, the supreme leader, because he thinks that in his mind his lineage is the ones that should be controlling the galaxy, just like his grandfather proposed to his uncle at one time, you know, join me, son, and we'll rule the galaxy together as father and son. He saw this as his chance for the Skywalkers to be one, be the rulers of the entire galaxy. So, in my opinion, everybody's blinded by something. That's all for today, fellow Star Wars nerds. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the station, don't forget to hit the favorite button so you don't miss the next broadcast. Feel free to leave a comment on any of the segments or call into the station so the rest of the galaxy can hear your voice. You can also follow the station on Twitter at @_SWNerds. At me and leave a comment or question, which I might read on a future segment. We're also on Facebook. Just search for The Star Wars Nerds. You should pop up and see our logo there. Once again, I want to thank you for listening. This is Nerd 11 signing out. May the Force be with you.